Welcome this morning. Welcome, welcome. And thank you so much for coming and spending a Saturday morning talking about these important things that we often don't talk about. And I want to thank the Church of the Transfiguration. I want to thank Mother Rebecca, and I want to thank Pastor Nancy for having me here to begin this conversation. You know, we don't talk about these kinds of things, right? We talk about our spouses, we talk about our children and our grandchildren, and we talk about the latest movie. Did you see The Green Book? You know, and all that. We talk about the most wonderful, new, amazing restaurant that we found last Saturday. But do we ever talk about aging? Do we ever talk about the struggles that we are having as caregivers? No, we don't. Do we raise your hand if you don't have a mother and a father? Well, not, I don't mean forever. I meant like right now. I mean, for, you know, to start with. So everybody has parents, and everybody deals with this aging concept at some point. So you guys that don't have parents, raise your hand if you're not aging. Okay? So my feeling about this entire topic is so in line with what this whole seminar is about, which is we need to start talking. And we need to stop balking, right? Start talking, stop balking. So let's just jump into it. And let me just tell you a little bit about me. I was raised here in Dallas at the corner of Lover's Lane and Hillcrest. I went to Highland Park High School and then on to college and university here in Texas. And my mother had me at 45. And my brother was already at SMU when I was born. And my mom and dad, I guess, decided to have a do-over or something. Tell my brother that, right? Anyway, and so my brother and I, my dad passed away when I was 4. And so we had, my mom had a fantastic elder year period. She was great. My daughter was born when I was 42. My mom was 88. And so she was keeping my daughter and just doing great until just after 90. And she passed away at 98 and a half about 2.5 years ago. But throughout all that, mom needed some help. She needed some care. She needed some discussions and conversations. And then in 2011, my mother and father-in-law, who'd retired to the backwoods of Montana from LA, the opposite, they decided they needed to be near us. And so we moved, I live in Colorado now, and we moved them from Montana to Colorado. And within about a month, my father-in-law was diagnosed with cancer. And so I've got my mother and my father-in-law and my mother-in-law struggling, and I've got a 5-year-old in kindergarten. And I sat there, and I would pick her up from kindergarten, and all these other mothers who, like, probably still had acne, you know? You know? And I'm staring down 50, right? And I'm like walking up, and I'm like, just, they're like, how are you? I'm like, I'm about to pull out my hair. And they're like, why? And I said, because I have in the whole spectrum. And so I learned so much. My background is marketing. I didn't do this for a living. My background is marketing. I worked for the Coca-Cola company. I worked for Mexican food manufacturers, advertising agencies. And my sister-in-law said, you know so much about this at this point because I research and I dig and I look for things and I try to find ways to be organized. And she said, you have to write a book. And I said, oh, that's not what I do. And she said, oh, no, you have to. There are all these people going through this and they need to know how to have a conversation. They need to know what to do, how to reduce the stress. And I said, okay, I'll try. So I sat down and 3 weeks later I had the book. So it was all up here. Or really, I guess all in here. So that's my story. I wrote the book, and I have done a lot of these kinds of events. I've done lots of talking and conversations. And in all of that, I have found that we are challenged as a culture and as a country and as a society about this particular topic. We don't talk about it. So with further ado, I'm going to stop talking about me and start talking about this. So what is your vision for elder years? What are your, what if you're on the other end and you're the, I'm going to talk about the elder and the younger. If you're the elder, what is your vision? What do you want to have happen as you age, as you move into your golden years? If you're a younger, what is your vision for your parents? And have you shared that? Have you shared their vision? Have they shared that with you? Staying ahead of the elder emergency requires three things, I think. And I will tell you, this is what I think about the elder years. Nobody does anything until there's an emergency, right? You get the phone call that says, Mom's in the ER, she just fell and broke her hip. You need to come down right here, right now. And you say, that's great. And they say, when you get there, do you have the power of attorney? And you say, what's that? And then they say, Mom can't go home, she's got to go to a rehab facility. And you say, what's that? And then they say, you've got to, she can't go home anymore after the rehab facility. You have to find either help for her or somewhere for her to be. And you say, oh no, I don't know what to do. Or if that's you and you're doing fabulously and you fall and that somebody says you can't stay alone anymore or you can't stay, you say, oh my gosh, I never planned for this. I never talked to anybody about this. That's why the elder care emergency is like an elephant. It lands in your lap. It's big. It's heavy. Has anybody had an elephant land in their lap? No. But you know what? If it comes, you can't easily move it. And you can't ignore it. So that's what happens in elder care. You just, in your elder years, you know, you just never know when the elephant's going to land in your lap. And the key to, you know, so to speak, eating the elephant is one small bite at a time. So we don't all start this at, you know, at 5 a.m. and finish by 5 p.m. So averting the elder emergency means doing something before the emergency. And I think that means three things. You have an honest conversation. And just like the gentleman was talking about, we listen. We have a conversation and we listen. Then we understand how important advocacy is in caring for our elders and having us cared for. The advocacy is the key to making the plan and the vision a reality. You can't have a good advocacy without a good conversation. You can't advocate for someone's wishes, and no one can advocate for yours if you're not honest. And I talk about rinse and repeat, because you remember the old shampoo bottles? And they would say, put the shampoo on, do the you know, washing, and then rinse and repeat. So you have the conversations, you honestly listen, you build a plan. By the way, that's always going to change. But you have a plan. And then you advocate. And you ask that advocacy be a part of your vision going forward. And then you rinse and repeat. An honest conversation. This is a tough subject. Raise your hand if you thought that this would be fun. I don't see anybody. Okay. Oh. I said, you know, one time I said to some group, I said, raise your hand if elder care was one of your life goals. And this lady in the back, I think she was an alien, raised her hand. I was like, seriously, lady? And she said, oh, yeah.
She said, I plan to do this all my life. And I'm thinking, uh-huh. And the next part of the story is she's a gerontologist and a licensed social worker. That doesn't count.
Right, Gina?
No. I'm glad you didn't raise your hand. Okay. So that honest conversation is hard, and no one wants to talk about it. But things that you can do. Someone asked me yesterday, I did a presentation yesterday, someone asked me, they said, you know, how do you start this? And you know, just like everybody, we're all individuals, and so it's all going to start differently. But my mother was a fanatic about pie. And one of the things that she thought was important in every conversation was it had to start with pie. So at her memorial service, we started with pie, and then we moved on to the service. So I would say, get your piece of pie and sit around and talk about it. You could start by saying, if you're the younger, you could start by asking your parents, what went well and what didn't go well with your own elder care experience? I know in my mom's case, my aunt did a lot of the caregiving for my grandmother, and my mother just kind of happened in and happened out as she could. Well, I bet my aunt would have a different version of what she wanted than what my mother wanted. So that's always a good start. Another thing is if you are going to the doctor and you want someone to come along, you can have your younger come along and listen to the doctor and have a conversation with the doctor so that you start a mutual conversation and a mutual opportunity to move forward together. Then if the emergency happens, guess what? The younger knows the doctor. There is something to be said for starting gradually. You start the conversation and you start it gradually. But it's really important to start. You could say, hey, where's the will? Hasn't been refreshed since 1970. And they'll say, well, it's in the safe deposit box. Well, where's the key? Which bank? That would be a good start, right? So it's really important to know these things, but start with a conversation. Maybe it's the paperwork. Maybe it's power of attorney. Maybe it's getting a copy of your medications for your younger to have in case they you would ever need to know. So those kind of things. Be willing to be vulnerable. Expect that it is both hard for the younger generation and the older generation. This is not easy stuff. This is why we don't talk about it, right? It's tough, but it's important to have the conversation and it's important to be vulnerable. Say, this scares me. This is really scary. I don't know what I'm going to do about X, Y, or Z. Honey, this isn't a cakewalk we're talking about. And I mean it. It's not easy. It's hard. But it's important to be honest. My mother, one time, we were driving along. I was raised here, but my mother's from East Texas. And we were driving along Old 80, and we saw this lady walking along at a stoplight. And she had a walker, and she was walking along, and she had one of those things over her head, you know, scarves tied like this. And my mom loved to just sort of have fun and laugh and whatnot. And she looks over at me and she says, if I ever get to that point, I want you to just shoot me. And we laughed. And at about 96, I leaned down. She was in her chair. And I said, Mom, I can't shoot you. She's like, I know. So, That was a good planning session, right? So what are the components of a conversation? Well, where do you want to live as you age, right? Where do you want to live? Do you want to live at home and age in place? Do you have stairs that you have to deal with? Do you have things in place to be safe at home? If not, you really need to think about that. But you need to talk about, where do you want to live? I asked Mom, do you want to come to Colorado? And she said, that's a good idea. And she came to Colorado at Christmas and it was cold. And she said, I've never lived anywhere that it was this cold. I'm not coming. I said, okay. All right. This will be fun. And so, but my mother and father-in-law, they moved to Colorado. So sometimes it requires a thought outside of the regular. Where do you want to be? Do you want to move to a community? Do you want to move to a community early? That would be my recommendation. While you can build a community amongst your friends and be comfortable. And then, who do you want taking care of you? You know, let's say there are three kids. And there's one in Seattle and one here and one in Tyler. You may think that the one here is clearly the one that will take care of you. But you know what? Maybe he or she's not the right one to take care of you. So you really need to think about, who is the one that I want advocating for me? And or you might want to ask your parents. Let's talk about this. Let's get everybody involved and let's think about who we want. Maybe it's a niece or a nephew or a cousin. Do a financial assessment. Talk about a budget. Huh?
Sorry, you got a hand.
With all due respect, everything you're talking about is about families and people, right?
Yeah.
If you happen to be my community member, miles and miles and miles and miles from your only sibling,
mm-hmm.
and our only daughter,
mm-hmm.
I don't got these people to talk to. I have friends, and I'm working on having those friends be a part of my process. But my question to you is, in your book, do you talk about folk like me who don't have this circle of biological people in their life?
Well, in my book, I don't really talk a lot about building the network, because that's going to be different for everybody, as you're saying. I really talk about the pieces that you have to lay the groundwork for. In this,
can I create a mother or a daughter or a son?
Now, I know you can't, but you can create a community. And that may be a cousin, it may be a sibling, it may be a neighbor, it may be a partner, it may be whomever is going to be that person for you, or that group for you. Okay? Someone asked me yesterday about special needs. I mean, that's a whole nother concept. If you've got somebody, you know, in the family with special needs and you're the one taking care of them, what do you do about that? So it's really about, when I say family, my brother says family is people that you feel at home with.
Okay.
So when I say family, I mean whoever you feel is your family. Now, I will tell you honestly, I took care of my mother from Colorado to here. It's possible to do. I wanted to reach through the phone line and strangle a few people several times. But I came down here very often, and I was very involved in her care, and I had a person on the ground here that kept eyes and ears out. Okay? I had a whole community here. People that my mother knew in our neighborhood who would come over and do things for her, that I could say, please take her to the doctor today. So, I mean, you know, you just build the community that you can, that you have. Okay, do a financial assessment. Now, if you want to know who's going to pay for your elder care or your parents' elder care, you pick up the mirror and you look in it. Okay? That's who is going to pay. It's an expensive proposition in many, many regards. And so you really need to take a look at the finances. I know that's not something anybody really wants to think about, but you need to look at it. And you need to say, this is how much it's going to cost for me to live in this retirement community, or for my mother to go to assisted living, or for my father to go to a memory care facility. This is how much it's going to cost, and this is the budget that we have. And we might have to sell this to get the liquidity to pay for the care, or we might have to tap into this or that. And that's why you need a financial assessment. You need to sit down and look at what you got and what you need to spend it on. And look at it out the line. I'm not talking today, I'm talking 5 years, 8 years, 10 years down the road, what's going to happen. And I tell you, long-term care insurance is a huge part of that solution. Huge. I have a whole section in my book on that. And so my mother bought it at 80, by the way. And she always said, if I didn't have this, I'd be under a bridge. Well, I don't know about that, but it sure did help. So financial assessment. And is the legal paperwork current? Like I said, has the will been refreshed since 1970? Does everybody that needs it have a copy of the power of attorney? There are two types of power of attorney. Does everybody know that? There's financial power of attorney and there's medical power of attorney. And so many folks say, well, you know, I'm a power of attorney for my parents, but they've got it in the file somewhere. Well, that's great. Until you need it, that's the whole point, right? Is to show up with it. If you go to the bank and you say, you know, mom's in the hospital and I need to pay her rent, and they say, that's wonderful, where's your power of attorney? And you say, I don't know, it's somewhere in my mom's filing cabinet. And they say, well, sorry, we'll see you when you got it. And same thing. And, you know, most people will say, well, I don't really need my child, or I don't need right now to be their power of attorney. But you know what? You got to get it. And everybody that has it needs a copy. Everybody that is the power of attorney needs a copy. And you can revoke it at any time, but you really need the paperwork. And then you need an advance directive. And then you need the will. You really need these pieces of paper. They're critical and important, and make sure you got it. Because, you know, one of my readers said my mom was doing fabulously at 80, and she had a stroke. And she had a stroke, and it affected her speech, and she couldn't talk. And she went to the hospital, and my reader said, I had no power of attorney. Her mother had to go to a facility, and she and her sister were never able, it had to go to court, and in the time, they were never able to have a say-so in their mother's care. And that's awful. Don't do that to yourself. Get your paperwork in order. What scares you, to your point about folks nearby, you may want to have a nearby power of attorney and someone away with a power of attorney. What scares you the most about aging? That's part of the conversation. What scares you? You know, some of the people say to me, I'm ready to talk, but my kids aren't. My kids say, I don't want to hear that. You're going to live forever. And, you know, that's a tough one. That's a really tough one. But you know what? You could say, I am here to tell you, I plan to live forever, but in case that errant bus runs over me, here's some information that you'll need. So that's a conversation. What scares you? Now, that's the first part. Remember, having an honest conversation. The second part is, why is advocacy part of this? Why is advocacy part of this? Well, because adding your voice to the voice of your elder, or vice versa, may lead to a better reception of the message. So, for example, let's say you're at the doctor's office with your parent, and your parent says, I'm here to talk about this. Or maybe your parent made an appointment with the doctor to talk about something, situation A. But by the time they got to see the doctor, they forgot about what situation A was. And if you're like my mother-in-law, you go into the doctor and the doctor says, "How are you doing, Ms. Blankenship?" And she says, "I'm doing just fine." And the doctor says, "Why are you here?" And she says, "I don't know." So, see your pretty face, I guess. And then, so then my husband is the one that has to know why she's there or help remind her. So, you know, going together to add your voice to their voice is important. Maybe it's adding your voice to their voice in the negotiation of a lease or moving to some retirement facility or community. Maybe it's adding your voice to their voice at the end of the year when we all have fun looking at the new and more wonderful Medicare supplement plan. Isn't that fun? Don't you love doing that right before the holidays? Open enrollment is your friend. So all those kinds of things are really important to start getting involved. Start having somebody by your side. Start being by the side of your parent and start that advocacy. Sometimes they are unwilling to advocate for themselves. Sometimes if you're an elder, you come in and you say, "You know, I would love to have that done for me, but I just can't ask for it. I just don't feel comfortable asking for that." Well, guess what? An advocate can help you. An advocate in your family or in your group of community can say, "This is what I want. This is what she wants. This is what he wants." And so it's important in advocacy to having someone there. If you're not willing to ask for it, someone can help you. Sometimes they are unable to advocate for themselves. Sometimes at the end of life or in a particular medical situation, folks don't have a voice. So if you know their vision and you've had a conversation with them, you can advocate for them. You can say, "This is what they want. This is what I know they would enjoy." You know, I'll tell you something funny about my mom. She lived in this retirement community down on Central. And every single day they would give my mom, towards the end of her life, they would give her iced tea and jelly of some sort. Now, my mother hated ice and anything, and she hated tea. So, and she could be grumpy. But she didn't like jello either. And so I would go and I would go visit and I would talk to the aides and I would say, "You're so sweet. I know. I'm so grateful you take her, Mom. Please don't give her iced tea. Please don't give her ice in her water. And please don't give her jello. She likes pie." Okay? Remember, everybody? Pie. And so they would say, "Oh, sure. Don't happy to." I'd come down a couple months later. Guess what? Iced tea and jello. So, I'd say, "I'm so grateful for you taking care of Mom. She doesn't like jello, and she doesn't like iced tea." So this went on for months. Okay, every time I come down, I do that. So I went out and I got this big piece of paper. And I got me a Sharpie pen, and I wrote, "Ruth Asaph, no ice, no tea, no jello." And I got some masking tape and I taped it up in the kitchen. After I left them a tray of nice fruit and a little thank you note. But you know, I mean, really, sometimes you just need a little advocacy. So what kind of, what does advocacy look like? Well, it can start with a helping hand, just like I told you about. Going to the doctor, taking your mom or dad out to the bank or wherever. And it can be an outside voice, reiterating the elder's voice, augmenting it. You know, I really think what she's trying to say is. It can be an eagle-eyed observer. Now, that's really important. That's your job as a younger, is to be an eagle-eyed observer. And that's things like, you know what, Mom's not really able to clean anymore. She doesn't want a housekeeper, but she just can't clean anymore. So maybe what I can do for her is have somebody come and help a little bit. Or maybe I can come over here with somebody and I can say, Mom, you know what? Your gift for Christmas is I'm going to give you a spring cleaning. Something that gives you pause is something that you need to be looking for. Maybe it's their medication. Maybe it's their, you know, they're just, they've got 30 days supply and you come in 20 days and they've still got a 30 day supply. Eagle eye observer. It can be taking charge when the elder no longer has a voice. Again, maybe it's temporarily they don't have a voice, but not having a voice is an important way to advocate for them. It can be informal, like I'm at the doctor, or we're at the bank, or we're negotiating a new lease, or it can be in a formal document like a power of attorney. Now, there are three areas of advocacy that I'm going to kind of breeze through, but I want you guys to know that there are three areas that I think are distinct about advocacy. And the first is health advocacy. This should just give you some ideas about ways that you can be an advocate or you can have somebody advocate for you. Doctor visits. I already talked about that. Hospital stays and emergency room. That's a great place. Everybody needs an advocate. I had surgery last month, and I don't know what I would have done without my husband being right there advocating for me. You know, I've got that little breathing thing over there, and they can't hear me talking, but they can hear him. So, hospital visits. Now, let me throw out one thing that's kind of interesting that I think would help everybody, and that's about emergencies. When my mother-in-law moved to Denver, she loved to get pneumonia. And so she fell one day. She would never acknowledge that she had pneumonia. So she fell on the floor one day, just passed out. And my father-in-law, with a PhD in biochemistry, didn't know what to do. And so he just watched her. And then he decided he would call the EMTs. So he called 911. They came over. And they started saying things like, well, what's wrong with her? He's so worried, he doesn't know. Well, what's her name? He might have gotten her name out. I'm not sure. And so the EMTs, what we found out is when something happens like that, maybe you're by yourself, or maybe you push your button and something happens, and they come, and, you know, you're laying there, and you might not be able to give them the full, you know, chalupa, right? And so what you need is, and what the EMTs told us, is that they look for paperwork on the fridge. So you can put a Ziploc bag with things like the medications, the allergies, the pertinent things. Do you have high blood pressure? Do you have diabetes? Did you just have a knee replacement? Did you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then you put a copy of your insurance card in there, and you put somebody to call, an emergency contact. And then if you want to, you can put, I want to go to XYZ hospital. But you put that in, fold it all up and put it in a Ziploc bag and put paperwork for Suzanne, and you stick it to the fridge. And then that way, when Grandma falls, Grandpa can just, you know, stand there and look at her, and it's okay. Because the EMTs have got it. So that's a little thought that's aside. Medical testing. There's an advocacy. You know, when somebody is 98, then they're saying, you know, you need to go get your mammogram. My mom said, I don't need to go get a mammogram. I'm 98. Okay. Medicare. There's a good one. Everybody loves Medicare, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're just going to skip right over that one. Medications. Medications is a great place for advocacy. Really understanding how they get the medications. Are they getting them in the right doses? Are they taking them, etc.? Medical and prescription drug insurance. That, again, we love open enrollment. Health aides. You can advocate. You remember the Jell-O and the ice? Dentists, audiologists, and opticians. You know, so many people say, oh, you know, you need a new set of hearing aids. Let's send you right over here to my favorite hearing aid place where they're $8,000 each. And your mom or you are going to go right over there, same thing with the eyeglasses, and they're going to say, oh my goodness, you need this new fancy pair. And you know what? They're only $2,000 over at Costco. So there's an opportunity for advocacy. Business affairs. Financial planning. Remember we were talking about the assessment. You need to make sure that if you have a financial advisor, that your kids know who that is, and vice versa. Your financial advisor knows who your kids are. An opportunity for advocacy, again, is in banking and investments. You know, when you're looking, staring down at the corridor of life, you may, as soon as you're going down there, you may not want to do the most aggressive investments, but maybe you've been doing that and you've been playing the stock market and maybe you don't know exactly where to go from here. Well, that's an opportunity for advocacy. So negotiations are another opportunity for advocacy. One of the things I found about my mom getting older is she was not very good at negotiating anymore. And I'm telling you what, I'm a good negotiator. So I help with that. Assets, real estates, and vehicles. You know, when they get to the point where you can't drive anymore, somebody needs to sell the vehicle. Identity protection, that's where you need your... My mom would often throw away her mail that she didn't want. You know, all those credit cards, you can get this. That's, you know, that's the biggest thing with elders, is an opportunity for identity protection. I mean, identity fraud. So you really need to help make sure that they have a shredder, or they know what to do, or mom put all your mail in this pile, or, you know, friend put all your mail in this pile, and I will shred it for you. Insurance. Boy, can people be taken to the ends of their financials with insurance. So, you know, this is another opportunity for you to sit down, have a conversation, and let someone help advocate for you. In bill payment, set up online bill pay so that if your elder forgets, well, it's okay. Set up online bill pay. Hired workers, contract laborers, and employees. That's another opportunity. Maybe they have somebody come in that does the yard work. Well, make sure they're doing the yard work that they're getting paid for. Residence advocacy. In their own home or in apartment. You know, maybe they are not seeing that something needs to be done. Or maybe the smoke detectors need to be done, you know, put a new battery in. There's a real opportunity for that. Also, in a retirement community, again, Jell-O, okay, assisted living, ice and the tea. At a nursing care, boy, this is an opportunity for real advocacy. They really need your advocacy if they're in a nursing care or a memory care residence. That's really an opportunity. That's where your voice is so important. As their advocacy, at their advocate. In a rehabilitation facility, first thing they're going to tell you when your mom gets there after she breaks her leg or her hip is she's going to a rehab facility and we're going to have a care conference. And you say, what's that? You need to understand that a care conference is the start of a conversation with their providers on what's going to happen. And that's a great time to be an advocate. They say, well, we're going to do this. And you say, by when? So there you go. Residence at an adult, child, or a family member's home or someone in the community that you're going to be living with. Advocacy and hospice. This is where all three come together. Advocacy and hospice is really where your voice counts the most for them because they don't have a voice at that point. They may have a voice, but it's quiet. So your advocacy should be loudest and strongest in the conversation. Legal terms, again, power of attorney, medical, power of attorney, financial, advance directive or living will, And government forms, by the way, government loves to tell you that power of attorney means nothing to them. The government has a form for everything, right? Well, they don't acknowledge power of attorney, of course, because they love to have their own forms. So in the back of my book, it tells you exactly what forms help with the government. You have to have one for Medicare and one for the VA and one for the IRS, and everybody, of course, has a different form. So you need, if you're going to speak on behalf of an elder or you want someone to speak on your behalf in the area of government, you have to use their form. Rinse and repeat. Now we're to rinse and repeat. No matter how buttoned up your plan is, it will probably not be executed exactly as you're thinking. So if you're a control freak, make multiple plans. The journey will exercise your flexibility bone. Because you may think, I want to go this way, and life says, nope, you're going that way. So rinse and repeat. The one and done conversation, I'd love to tell you it's going to be that way. It's not. It's a continuing conversation. How many of you have been in a relationship with somebody and you have one conversation and then you never have to have a conversation about that topic again? Well, life works that way. So, have an open-ended conversation. Check with them often. How you doing? Remember I said this? Well, remember I said that? Okay. Balking will get you nowhere but up a tree. And when you have a plan, decisions can be made in care mode and not in panic mode. Because I tell you, the first time you have that elephant in your lap, you're going to panic. And that's not when you make your best decisions, is it? No way. You make your best decisions in care mode. So in closing, there is no better way to have an impact on your own life or your elder's life than having an honest conversation, being an advocate, insisting on your own advocacy, being flexible, exercising that flexibility bone, and continue to speak honestly. Again, think back to those relationships. I had told you that once, but I love you a lot, so I'm going to tell you that again. And believe that each and every person in this entirety of our family or our community wants the best for everybody. So understand, when you're talking to your sibling and you say, I need help, you might want to throttle them because they don't necessarily understand what that help is. But understand that they probably want the best for your parent or for you. And always assume that we start from common ground and we work out for the best of everybody involved. And thank you guys so much today. I appreciate it.